So Brother Scott didn't make it yet? No? Brother Scott Pruitt's turning 40 tomorrow, so we're going to have a birthday/funeral party for him. Genesis chapter 11. Yeah, kids can get out of here if they want. Who's teaching in December? Oh, is she? Oh, okay. Genesis chapter 11. Read the first 9 verses here. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this account, perfect account, inspired, preserved perfectly. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to see why you did what you did, and realize that the same cotton-picking mess is still going on in this world, in this country, and I pray that you'd help us to stand against it as you did. We obviously cannot do what you did, but yet we could stand in opposition to these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the first 9 verses there about the Tower of Babel. And anything in Genesis from 1 to 12 is still in effect today. It's still in force. Genesis 3, you have the punishment on sin, where ladies are still given birth in sorrow. They haven't changed anything. Science and technology has not changed that. And also in Genesis chapter 6, 7, 8, where God promised gave us the promise about not flooding the earth again, so we have the rainbow. That's still in force today. In Genesis 9, you have the 3 different basic races split up there, and their strength and weaknesses are portrayed there in Genesis 9. That's still in force today. In Genesis 12, you have the Abrahamic covenant, the land grant that's given to the nation of Israel. That's still in effect today, even though I know a bunch of white folk in America trying to steal it. But that's still in force today. And Genesis chapter 11, this is still in effect today, the Tower of Babel. Now, there is a French company, a travel agency, that put up a brochure. And they had in this brochure a fallen down Tower of Babel. And they got a new one being built up in there, and it's got one language, one speech in there. And that's part of the European Union. The Bible is a political book. Now here you have in Genesis 11, something strange happening. And basically I'm going to give you 3 truths that we're going to find in this passage. One is a very general truth, and that's basically God's attitude towards the New World Order. If you whip out your I guess it's called money in your pocket. That stuff that's got green ink on it. That's called a dollar, which isn't a dollar. But if you look on the back of a $1 bill, it will have a pyramid there, and it has a little eyeball that's floating. And then it's got Latin words there around that circle. And those Latin words translated means announcing the birth of the New World Order. That's what that means. FDR, we can thank FDR for that. And this is a one-world government, a one-world system that is still being pushed today. Now, Genesis chapter 11 is God's attitude towards it. You know, you ask the average American, look if you would in Luke chapter 11, Luke 12, verse 51. If you ask the average a person or American on the street, what do you think about world peace? Do you think it'd be a wonderful thing, the United Nations, and have one world unity? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Everybody, you know, love each other and ooey gooey and all that kind of stuff. And then you've asked, what do you think Jesus would think about that? Would Jesus approve of that? Luke chapter 12, verse 51. And this is the question that Luke 12, 51 is asking. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. If you ask the average American, do you think Jesus came to give peace on earth? You know, glory to God in highest, on, you know, goodwill towards men, peace on earth, all that stuff. Luke chapter 2. Do you think that's why the Lord came? Well, the Lord answered it for us. He said, I tell you nay, but rather division. Now, that's illustrated back there in Genesis 11. Genesis 11, you have the United Nations, and you have the World Congress of Fundamentalists. You have all the scientists, and everybody's all happy because everybody's one language, one speech, unity, love, and all that stuff. And no doubt God would be approved that man's not fighting amongst themselves and all that stuff. And what did the Lord do? He came down and he was a party pooper. That's what the Lord ruined the party. And there's a reason why he did that. You would think that's rather strange. The average person, when you tell them these things, they look at you and say, well, are you a warmonger or something? No, I'm not a warmonger. I just don't believe the United Nations is our answer. Why? It's because they have a specific motive in what they're doing. And this is why God split them up in Genesis chapter 11. You know, I think it would have been quite funny to watch that. Here they're building on this tower. And they think they're going to, the basic gist of it, why they were building a city and a tower is because they experienced the flood. They remember the flood. These people remember the history of the flood. So they thought if we build us a tower that may reach unto heaven, that's getting way up there. Then when the water comes and they can scamper in the tower, go to the top, and everybody else is flooded, and they survive the flood. That's their thinking. But of course, you know, if you talk to some people down in Florida about being in a tall building when a hurricane came through, it kind of wasn't you know, they don't want to report all the dead bodies going on down there because there's a bunch of people that was having hurricane parties, getting drunk, and now they got body parts everywhere. Afraid it's going to ruin tourism. But this thing in Genesis 11, it's a strange thing. Now, is this, as far as this world unity, is it going to take place? Yeah, look, if you would, in Zephaniah chapter 3 in the Old Testament. The Bible is a political book, and the more you get in this book, you're not going to get away from this stuff. And I realize people nowadays, they think, well, you got to get off that stuff. Yeah, and let the heathen just run the show? Get away with their murder and theft and all that stuff? No, we are to be standing against these things. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Basically, if you don't even have a Bible, and if you don't know right or wrong, if the world's walking one way, and if you walk the exact opposite, you're going to be right 9 out of 10 times. Because the world is wrong that often. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8, therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For not my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms. Okay, so there's the Lord. Now, in one case, you think, okay, right there he said he's going to assemble the kingdoms. But back in Genesis 11, he split up the kingdoms. He said, can't he make up his mind what he wants? Well, if you keep reading that verse, you see why he's getting together today. To pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people of a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent." Now, the Lord's going to do that at the millennium, obviously, and he's going to go back to one language, but yet the earth is going to glorify Jesus Christ then. What does the United Nations want today? Look in Psalms 2. Now, this is just the general truth of what we're reading in Genesis 11. It's still in force today. The reason why the Lord is against this thing in Genesis 11 is because these people want to have world peace and unity without God. They want to kick God out. Now, when I say God, I'm referring technically to Jesus Christ in particular. If you go to AA meetings, hopefully you don't have to, but in case you do go to AA meetings, they're going to encourage you to have a God of some sort, a supreme being. Now, they want you to talk about that God, you know, if it's a door, doorknob, you know, if it's a flag or a tree or a frog or a cat, that's okay. But as soon as you mention Jesus Christ, they start having fits. Something about Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ, is just simply amazing. And if you get around possessed people and bring up the name Jesus Christ, if you watch their eyeballs, you can see circuit breakers going off. And if they're really possessed, you may even hear it coming out of their throat. My preacher friend that I preached for last week, he was in court, and he hadn't mentioned the Bible or the Lord through the process, so finally he was getting ready to testify, and he told his people, "Tomorrow I'm going to testify in court, and I'm going to mention the name of Jesus Christ, and so we're going to discover the devils in the courtroom." So he gets on the witness stand and he said, "Your Honor," who's a dyke, he says, I feel great privilege and honor to testify for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And as soon as he said Jesus Christ, she goes, like that. And then the prosecution objected, right, there's another devil over there. There's a city council meeting down in Florida where they had people pray before the council meeting, and they put up a limitation on anybody now prays in a council meeting. You can mention God, but don't say Jesus Christ. About that time, if they asked me to pray it, that'd be 100% of the prayer about the Lord Jesus Christ, and just watch the guys have a fit. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalms 2 is the motive. "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision." Yeah, he who laughs last laughs best, and of course we know the Lord gets the last laugh. Now, that's the basic gist of Genesis 11, okay? That's the basic truth or the general truth there. That's God's, shall we say, opinion or God's belief about world unity. And that's, if you want to be right with God, if you want to walk with your God, then you got to develop the same attitude he has. Now, again, the reason why he's doing this is because these people want to kick Jesus Christ out. That's their motive. I can have a great unity and harmony with somebody when we both want to glorify Jesus Christ. But if somebody don't want to glorify Jesus Christ, then count me out. I don't want to be around. Now, another thing you're going to see in this thing, that in this passage, that's very interesting. And as if you read the Bible slowly or study it, you're going to find that the Lord will tuck certain truths in there. Verse 6. Now, notice verse 5, "And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded." I'm thinking, what would he have to come down for? The Lord's in heaven, he sees everything going on. But this is a situation where I guess he just wanted to come down and rub shoulders with what's going on and see what's going on here. And then it says, "And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let," notice a personal pronoun, "let us go down." Who's talking? Verse 6, it says, "The Lord said." Verse 7 says, "Let us go down." God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. So we have what's known as the Godhead right here in this passage. Now what we're going to do is we're going to see the basic root problem of these people where they're going to try to make a name for themselves, verse 4. They want to make a name for themselves, but in that process they want to defame, denigrate, they want to tear down God's name. The Godhead, that's the Bible word for Trinity. Trinity, the word Trinity is not found in the Bible, but the word Godhead is found 3 times in the Bible. Now, you would tend to think, well, if somebody has a problem with the Godhead, maybe they're just not reading right, maybe they're just not thinking right. But we don't realize that this important thing about Genesis chapter 11, where when a person rejects the Godhead and the Creator, Genesis chapter 1, that is traveling down a path towards sodomy. Romans chapter 1. You'll see that in Romans 1. If you take a couple minutes, let's look at Romans 1. Now, am I saying if somebody rejects this that that means they're automatically going to go down the road of a sodomite? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying they have that attitude. Now, I personally do not like talking about sodomites. I don't like talking about their perversion. I don't like talking about the famous word all across America, the word sex. I don't like bringing that up. I believe that's a very holy thing between a husband and wife, male and female. Amen. Two dykes don't make a family. And if they stick them all in one island, if they put all the female dykes in one island, put all the male dykes in another island, in 50 years, it's going to both be uninhabited. Amen. That's right. And this just isn't a little whim of mine. We're dealing with a war here, folks. Yeah, right. The sodomites trying to get into Boy Scouts. Yeah. And you realize that the Disney company today openly boasts, the Disney company, 40% employees who are queer. Of course, they don't use that word. And the Disney company has bought out ABC, and they are openly promoting sodomy on the sitcoms on telly. Right. And of course, they got a lot of these people are crying in their beer because of the election, because 11 states, thank God, voted against the sodomy way as far as marriage goes, and has voted for the Bible marriage, a man and a woman. And you don't realize how sneaky these people are. Now, who of us here are going to want to go to a gay parade? And the news media is not going to report it properly. They're not going to tell you what's actually going on in these things. Now, I've got actual footage if you want to see it, and I don't really like looking at it. And I get disgusted and want to puke when I see this stuff. But I tell you, these people are going after your kids and my kids. And it's going to be over my dead body. And it goes back to Genesis chapter 11. And if you and I don't get if Christians or Americans don't get their head out of the sand and start telling the truth about this stuff, and they're trying to cram it down your throat, and they're doing it through the news media and the movies and the television. I guess there's a sitcom called Ellen. I've never watched this stuff. I don't want to sit there and watch some dyke, and all that stuff. But I guess in this sitcom, she came out openly and said she's gay. And when they sent that script to the Disney company, they said it's not gay enough. And I tell you, this stuff that's coming out of the Disney world today, you better check it out and open your eyes and watch this stuff. before you let your kids see it. Lion King was promoting necromancy, sodomy, talking to the dead, that's necromancy, bestiality. Beauty and the Beast is nothing but bestiality and sodomy coming through there. And they're trying to manipulate the little kids' brains is what they're doing. It's a bunch of wretchedness. And I've got the video if you want to observe this stuff. But they're trying to pervert you and me. And it's because they hate God. In this one parade, the footage that I have, they got a big sign, God is gay. And they're trying to make God a queer like they are. And where this comes from, this is all laid out in our Bible. Look in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. You see, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. There's one of the three occurrences in the Bible. So that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. How did they become fools? They changed the glory of God unto the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Now there's a description of evolution in one shot. He went backwards. God, man, beast, creeping things. Now what's going to happen when you teach a society, verse 23, evolution, verse 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, it's sodomy. And again, I try to protect my children from these things as much as I possibly can. And I do believe that you and I are to protect our children because we want our children to be innocent and let them be children. People grow up so fast nowadays, and they don't let the kids be kids. Let them be kids and have an innocent life and protect them from these things. But we don't realize there's the latest statistic I'd read about molestation in this country, and this is only what's known. 1 out of 6 children. That's only the known ones. I mean, if you got the Catholic Church now, who is just the Archdiocese of Orange County, California, has just settled $100 million against 87 counts against pedophilia between the priests and the nuns and the altar boys and all this stuff. And then in this newspaper article I read about that, they got the money. Los Angeles County Archdiocese has 500 cases against them. And this stuff isn't being, these people are not being rebuked for their sin. They're not being punished for their sin. They're buying them off. And if that's going on in the churches, what do you think is going on outside these churches? I tell you, this country's in a mess. And these children, my heart bleeds for these kids, the little kids that get molested and messed around with these people. And it doesn't seem like anybody's doing a thing about it. If I had my way on this stuff, I'd be having public drownings whenever these priests get caught. I mean, publicly. Beheading, hanging, drowning. The Lord advocated drowning. I guess I would too on that. Because Jesus Christ said if somebody offends a little child, it's better for them to have a millstone be hung around their neck and they thrown in the depths of the sea. That's what the Lord said. And the thing is, on this idea about the Lord Jesus Christ, look about the Godhead. Look in Colossians chapter 2. The Lord Jesus Christ, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians chapter 2. Teach our children about the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 2, verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There's a specific truth about our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, back there in Genesis chapter 11, again, here's a personal truth we need to apply to ourselves. What did those people say? They said they want to make a name for themselves. They want to make a name. Now, that sounds innocent. Sometimes we have a common saying, he's making a name for himself. That sounds like an innocent thing, but to be technical about this thing, when someone's trying to make a name for themselves, they're trying to get self-glory. Instead of giving glory to God, they're trying to get the glory. Self-glory. A lot of times people will ask older adults will ask teenagers, what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do? You're going to make a name for yourself? Going to make a name? And so the kids think, well, I got to get a career, get a job, you know, make a name for myself. Jesus Christ did not come down here to show us how to make a living. He came down here to show us how to live. Now, whatever your vocation is, that's one thing. Your vocation is one thing, but your walk with God is an everyday occupation. Amen. If your vocation does not and cannot glorify God, then get out of the vocation. Oh, I work at an adult bookstore. Adultery bookstore? Oh, I work at a tavern. Oh, you got to make a living. Yeah, make it someplace else. You know, as far as the Lord, what's the Lord want us to do? Does he want us to make a name for ourselves? Making a name for yourself is a common thing called reputation. And I realize that your name is going to mean something to someone. Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is rather be chosen than great riches. And that's where we come up with reputation. And I do believe you are to live your life where you can have a good reputation. But yet, when you glorify Jesus Christ, let me tell you, your reputation is going to be kind of stinky among some people. Philippians chapter 2, the Lord himself, about the Lord, it says he made himself of no reputation. Jesus Christ, where was he born? In a barn. Yeah, you have the birthplace of Abraham Lincoln, the birthplace of Andrew Jackson, birthplace of this guy, this guy, this guy. Where is the birthplace of the Lord Jesus Christ? In a barn. There's no education facility over there in Jerusalem can say, we trained Jesus Christ. Now, who trained Jesus Christ? Mary, Joseph, and they may have signed some stuff to the rabbi. That's who taught him. No reputation. He made himself of no reputation. And as far as what the Lord wants us to do, if a person, and you're seeing people do this nowadays, why do rich people name things after themselves? Look in Psalms 49 and we find out why. This Bible reads right into the heart of people. Psalms 49. The entire psalm is written directly to everybody. And it's reading right into the heart of wealthy people. And of course, America is a wealthy nation. And I realize a lot of people are in debt, but it's all facade anyway. Psalms 49, verse 1. Hear this, all ye people, give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. Okay, he got our attention. Verse 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in a multitude of the riches. Got a big bank account? It can be gone that fast. It's just numbers. You say, oh, they take those numbers away from me, they're going to be in a fight. Have fun. Get stuck in a hospital for 2 weeks, kiss it goodbye. Well, I got good insurance. Yeah, and your insurance goes bankrupt. I tell you, we are so vulnerable in this country. It used to be in this country, people would have a year's supply of food because they lived annually in an agricultural society. We enter a society where I think, well, I can just go down to the grocery store. This country is operating on a less than a 14-day safety zone. Less than 14 days. You could see in this country, if they pull the electric plug, boom, you will actually, within 1 month, you would see people fighting and killing and starving in the streets within 1 month in this country because they're not ready. They're not prepared for anything. Why? Americans have taken their trust in God, and our coinage says, and placed it in man. That's what's happened in our country. Why? We're trying to make a name for ourselves. And you know, when you read Patriot things and you read about the Federal Reserve, you read about these things, I read about these things and I get mad because I see the ones at the top stealing from the ones who are actually doing the work, and I just get mad about these things. You know, we've all read stories about the Great Depression. We've read about those things. But how many of us have read what was the cause of the Great Depression? You see the great character that Americans had in the 1930s, and they survived the Great Depression. What caused the Great Depression? Well, they said the interest rates are too high. Who decided that? Some guys in the Federal Reserve Board? It would say, well, money supply was low. Yeah, but who decided that? That whole thing was orchestrated on purpose. And I read that stuff and I get mad. But you know what? God's got a different plan than I got. Because when God allowed those men to orchestrate that, suffering came in an increase in this country. But you know what else increased at that time? Revival came. You see, we humans, when we get so comfortable and we make a name for ourselves and we get so complacent about things, we forget about our God. So what God has to do, he says, well, they forgot about me for a while, so I need to get a Rothschilds, I need to get the Bilderbergers, I need to get this guy going, I need to get them to start stealing from these people, because then these people start crying out for me for help. And that's just the way the Lord does that thing. Now, here's what led up to the sin of Sodom. Look, if you would, in Ezekiel. I think it's 22 is what I'm looking for. Hey, when you get over 40, you kind of forget stuff. 16, verse 49. Ezekiel 16, 49. Now, where is America placed on this thing? Ezekiel 16, 49. He says, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Well, we know what the perversion part is, but what led up to that perversion part? Pride. See bumper stickers all across this country, American pride. Yeah. You know? And I know what people are saying when they're saying that. They're proud of their heritage, and a person should be. Pride, fullness of bread. Look at that. Abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Those are the things that led up to it. And I'm not saying that you and I are to be poor, and I'm not saying all that stuff. I'm saying that the prosperity that God has given us, Deuteronomy chapter 8 says to us, don't forget your God. Don't forget your God. You know, people always talk about Christmas being the time of the season for Jesus Christ. Don't count on it. It's a sign for covetousness. Don't tell me on Christmas morning that everybody gets around that Christmas tree and say, thank you, Jesus, for all the gifts. It's, I want, give me that thing, I want that, open them things up, and I'm mad at Santa because he didn't bring the right thing to me. It's all self. If you had your own birthday party, we've got a birthday party for Brother Scott. How would he feel if everybody passed out presents to everybody else but him on his birthday? That's what Christmas is. Everybody else gets the presents but the Lord Jesus Christ, if you think he was born at that time, which he wasn't. And the thing is people have, everything has gone cattywampus and turned upside down. Back in Genesis chapter 11, these people said, we're going to make a name for ourselves. Forget your name. There's a name which is above every name. Philippians chapter 2 says that name is exalted above every name. And that's the name that we should spend some time bragging about. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, the name of Jesus Christ. And when you brag about the name of Jesus Christ, when you exalt him, and which is a blessing to God when you do that for him, Philippians 2, verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus, Muhammad is Lord. The song we sang, Love Lifted Me, I can't imagine that being sung in that Muslim mosque up there in Maryville. Muhammad loves me. Yeah, strap a bomb on yourself and go win some infidels. The word love isn't found in the Quran. And we're giving these people equal, status amongst Christianity. I've got a magazine, it's called Voice of the Martyrs. The Voice of the Martyrs is their ministry basically is showing the martyrdom all across this world. Islamic countries killing them right and left. Burning their churches down. That's what they want to do to you and me. That's where they're heading in this country, and we're giving these people equal status and all that stuff. Philippians 2, it says that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. Now, it's much better if you do it down here. Before you die, bow the knee to Jesus Christ and ask him to save you. You're going to do it either here or there. And if you do it here, you get rewarded with heaven. If you wait to there, well, you get hell. The name of Jesus Christ. You see, that's why the Lord did that in Genesis chapter 11. God is jealous from anybody who's going to take his glory. He's a jealous God. And there's two things God does not allow other people to take from him, and that's his vengeance and his glory. Glorify Jesus Christ. Forget your name. Forget your popularity. Forget your fame and fortune and all that stuff. I obviously realize you got to work and make a living and all that stuff because, if you don't provide for your own household, you're worse than an infidel. But we keep things in a balance. And we realize that it's God that gives you the strength to get wealth. And God, at any time he wants, he can take any of us out in 2 seconds or less. Stroke, cancer, heart attack right on the spot. He can do it just like that. And he has done it to people. And the Lord is still in control of everything. And as far as we go, as far as this goes, the great truth of Genesis 11 is God's belief against the New World Order. The specific truth is about the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the specific truth is forget about making a name for yourself. Make a name for Jesus Christ. Bow down to that name. And let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd help us exalt your name. Your name is above every name. The name of Jesus, Jesus Christ. And Lord, a lot of people use your name in vain, and they use your name as a cuss word. But Lord, if there's someone here that has never trusted you, has never confessed Jesus Christ as their Savior, I'd pray, Lord, that you'd help them to realize that you are God manifest in the flesh. You are God. And as God, you are the Savior of the world. But yet, each individual must come to you and ask you to save them. And Lord, I pray that if somebody is here in here is not saved, I pray that they would come to you and ask you to save them. Those people back in Genesis 11, they built the tower, and it says that it may reach unto heaven. They had no certainty of it. And Lord, your word is a no-so. We can know for certain we're going to heaven. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're not certain that you're going to heaven, if you hope that you're going to heaven, like those people back in Genesis 11 where they thought that the tower was going to reach unto heaven, but they weren't sure about it. When you come to Jesus Christ and come to Him and Him alone for your salvation, that's where you know you're going to heaven, by trusting Him. The name of Jesus Christ is a name above every name. Your piano, your instruments plays, the altar's open if you need it. Christians have trusted Jesus Christ for the salvation of their soul, but it's strange that they cease their trust in Him for their daily needs, vocation, life. If the Lord can save your soul, He can provide for your life. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And the Bible says every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess to the glory of God. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to know that we need to confess the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior here on earth. And if a person doesn't bow the knee to you today or in life, they don't trust you as Savior, then they're going to do it at the white throne judgment. And Lord, I do pray that if there's someone here that's not saved, that today would be that day of salvation for them. In Jesus' name, amen.